Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Married at First Sight, Season 17, Denver, Colorado Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Playoff season's still going on. And I thought about this as the countdown was going. And I was like, since the Cowboys are out of the playoffs, let's hit them with a, here we go, it's Dak Prescott's. And you know how Peyton Manning had, Omaha, Omaha. Well, Dak Prescott had, here we go. Sorry.
Let's let him alone. Let him enjoy his vacation.
No. Yeah. he was really saying, here we go to Cancun.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
Good. It's been a long week. Sorry for the delay from yesterday. That's all on my end, but glad I got a chance to catch Mavs and see the shit show.
Episode lucky number 13. Here we go. Okay, I'm sorry. That was the last one.
Please stop.
It's the last one. So this episode started off with Chloe and Michael really excited. Especially Chloe excited the day after wedding dress shopping and excited for the wedding in a couple days. This tells you how much they're speeding up this process for these two.
Yeah, I just keep fast forwarding through them because until I see them at the altar, I don't care.
Me too.
Yeah. About all that stuff. And I don't want to take anything away from Chloe because Michael's been through this whole setup phase. Mm-hmm. So it's not new to him. So for her, this is her time to shine. I totally get that. I just want to watch it until we see those two at the altar. And let's see what happens. Because I'm curious, like, what their honeymoon is going to be like since they're not going to be with everyone else. Do they just honeymoon in Denver, you know, and kind of rejoin everybody into the apartment? Who knows? But I just kind of keep fast forwarding past them.
Here's my question. Because she has to kind of, she has to know that something's up. Because she's seen this before, right? So she knows this usually 2 weeks before the wedding. It's, you know, it's a lot slower than what it is. It's an expedited process. But this is super expedited process, right? And so she has to kind of know that. And as such, she has to be in her mind like, all right, what's going on here? And you understand why they're speeding it up. They're 21 days, 21 days, somewhere around there, till decision day for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with their decision. All right, you got married in 3 days. You have 2 weeks to figure out if you want to stay married. What are they going to do with these two?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I think it's editing, right? I think their process has taken, you know, the 2 weeks or whatever them to get married. They're only just showing us little tidbits here and there, you know. But, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's kind of editing, throwing some stuff in. But again, until they actually get to an altar and Chloe sees Michael, because I'm curious what Chloe's going to think of Michael, because Michael's a little bit eccentric. But
a little bit.
Until we get to that, I don't really want to talk to Chloe and Michael until the wedding day.
And you're right, because she's been such a perfectionist. She's very picky. Then you're right. How is it going to be when she finally does see him? Ariadne says 22 or 23 at the start of the episode until D-Day. By the end, I think it was 21 days. So, yeah. So they're 3 weeks out. And like I love my brown skin said, interested to see how they're going to make their process parallel. I don't know that they can. So does that mean we get just them? And how many episodes do we want to see just them? I mean, or do we get them and pass decision day for the others? It's an interesting one. And it'll be interesting to see what they kind of do. Oh, and Nikki B says, Terrell, stop it. Because aside from the Ray Liotta skin, Michael is a cutie.
I mean, that's great. That's if fun. She thinks he's a cutie, that's awesome. But Ariadne says a little bit eccentric. Terrell, why you lying?
Yes.
Okay. He's pretty on the extreme. Fine.
Yes.
You caught me there. He's out there, and Chloe doesn't seem like she's anywhere near that. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen when they meet up. Because when you talk to him, I think that the real him comes out. You see, he's a really cool guy. You ignore all that extra. I'm wondering, can Chloe ignore all that extra that we see from Michael and really be the one to get to know him? Maybe she's the one that convinced him to cut his hair. Now, as we see him when he's on the after party, it's like a total total difference. Looks like one of the little rascals, like a spanky kind of haircut.
And it looks like from the previews that, okay, we're going to get to their wedding next week. She looks nervous. And therefore, I mean, is there really much? We could literally wrap them up for this entire episode right now because we saw her getting her nails done. But that, here's the interesting thing. We saw the preview for the episode, and then what they showed in the episode was everything that was in the preview. It was like, okay, you could have just left it at that, right?
Yeah.
Really and truly.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Let's just go on to the other couples because there's really nothing here. We're all just speculating at this point of what we think could happen. These two hadn't even met yet.
All right, well, you know what? You're absolutely right what you just said. So let's move on to the other couples. Here we go. I'm sorry.
Please stop that.
It was the last one. I'm sorry, it's the last one.
I think you're the only one that laughs. I don't even think anyone in the chat
that's fine.
Is laughing at it. This is
that's
just
fine.
You.
It's fine. It works for me.
Okay.
I like when I'm the only one that laughs. All right, Becca and Austin. So Austin's out here planning an outing for him and Becca with some not safe for work lawn figurines. Good idea. I mean, she's always try to throw, you know, these sexy, sex in there somewhere in their conversations. And here he's the one sort of initiating this. Are we seeing hope for this couple this episode?
I mean, I don't know about you, but the best sex of my life happened with some lawn figurines and picking up. No, I think this is dumb. I think it's the craziest thing I ever watched. I'm like, how does this turn anybody on? And why would you think that? I'm like, y'all do you. But I'm watching that whole thing as if, yeah, none of this would make me excited whatsoever. And Becca's trying to throw in all the different sexual innuendos and just pretty much letting him know, like, here I am. Mm-hmm. I want it, but I still don't get it. And I still don't know why Austin said in a marriage, you know, they're asking about frequency. And he says, well, you know, once a day or every 2 days would be pretty good. And my question for the people in the chat, do you agree? Now, keep in mind, these people in their early 30s, those of us that are around knocking 50 and above, we might not be able to pull off every day or every 2 days, but your early 30s, what do you think?
Here's the first thing I thought when he said that. Becca has to be going, oh, really? 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 Because we haven't done once in this whole time we've been married.
Right.
She has, when he said that, she had to kind of feel away, you know, your favorite term ever.
I think she's just like, look, I just want something. Right now you're not giving me anything. And so she says, hey, every 2 days, that's fine. And if it happens more than that, bonus. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, but I think she just wants to have something. I just don't understand what it is that holds Austin back. And he keeps saying that he's a little slower. And I'm just wondering what that means. I don't want to make any assumptions about Austin, but I just find this odd that this has taken this long. And the fact that he uses this, you know, sexy plant figurine thing as a way to kind of get more intimate with somebody who has openly said they want you. Like, you don't have to do anything, but open the door and say, hey, let's do this. She's
exactly.
In.
She's in. CXM says, I never heard a man say that. Most men be like, every day, two times a day, especially at that age.
At that age, yeah. I talked a big game back then. Now I'm like, well.
Now, wait a minute. Hold up. How much? No. The thing to find, I found out here, because Becca says when he asked, what is she like, right? What is she into? And come to find out that she's a pleaser. Not surprising, because the thing she said is, I'm into whatever my partner's into. And that reminded me, and what was that movie? Because it was about
Coming to America, whatever you like.
There's that. And then there's the other one. I want to say, was it Julia Roberts? She did a... No, it was Jennifer Lopez. I think it was Runaway Bride. But she talked about liking the eggs. And I was like, what kind of eggs do you like? Every type of eggs that she liked. I think he went back and asked her exes. And her favorite eggs were whatever their eggs were. Mm. Because there's so many different ways to make eggs. And it's kind of like, this person is just a pleaser and just likes whatever they like, right? Because she said, whatever they're into. And then she asked Austin, and he was like, yeah, well, what about pegging? Oh, no, Austin asked, yeah, what about pegging? That was interesting. And like Daphne said, after looking up the meaning of pegging, one word for Becca, run. And if you don't know what pegging is, look it up and run, Becca.
But maybe Austin really was talking about him and asking, how do you feel about pegging me? So no, who knows?
That's what pegging is.
No, I understand. But women can be pegged just like men can be pegged. Same.
I don't think he was asking about her. He was asking her to, when you think about it, the way he put it, because the way he asked the question would look her in the eyes, just kind of like, all right, so how do you feel about pegging? And she just kind of let that slide. Unless they edited her answer up, she just kind of let that slide. But
yeah. Still, there's something going on there. We don't really know, but it's just odd that here we are this long into this relationship and Austin struggles with just being able to talk about intimacy or really, you know, talk about some things he like openly, where Becca's obviously sex positive, she calls it. And, you know, she's open to talk about all these things. For him, it's like he's like a Catholic school, you know, teenager. Like, oh, my goodness. Like everything she says is just, whoa. And he tries to, you know, throw humor into it to try to de-escalate how risque the conversation is.
There's some lessons in here for you, Terrell. Bodine says, pegging is for dudes only, T. And Nikki B says, nah, Terrell, it's just anal when it's man on woman. There's a difference. There's anal and then there's pegging. And Kimberly's like, wait a minute. Now I got to go look it up.
I was trying to help Austin out. I was trying to help Austin out. Just
we know exactly what he meant when he asked that question. And the Indigo Blue says, I think he brought it up so she would leave. You know what? The problem is, she literally just said, I'm into whatever my partner is into. He's lucky she didn't just pull out hey, you ready? Right here. Grab a
figurine. I'm glad you asked. Let me go in my purse real quick.
I've been waiting for this moment.
I've been waiting.
Yeah, that was wild to me. That was wild. Oh, my God. Well, look, as we clean up this recap and move on to the next couple. The next couple that's really a non-couple, Claire and Cameron, because Cameron, we see, is going for his operation. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, I really have no need to contact Claire.
I agree. You know, he's focused on himself right now. He doesn't have the time or energy to worry about how Claire's feeling and her emotions and all that type of stuff. And so he's just like, hey, I'm going to go get my procedure and all that. And then Claire is, you know, trying to figure out how she can support him and all that. My whole thing is, Claire, leave Cameron alone.
Yes.
If he needs you for anything, let him reach out. But I just don't believe she cares as much as she claims. Because I'm like, you treated the dude like crap most of the show. You got what you wanted. Mm-hmm. You separated. Let him be.
It feels like she's so worried about how people are going to and what people are going to say about her, how people feel about her, what they're going to say about her. And so she's overly caring. God put him in my life for a reason. What was it? Because this couldn't have been it. The Lord didn't say he ran away from New Zealand. I'm going to punish him with you. Mm. But then again, maybe we don't know because he did get, you know.
Yeah, yeah. God wanted you to be in his life so you can hurt his feelings on national TV, but then be there for him as he's going through his procedure.
Exactly. Say that again.
Procedure. I don't do accents. I don't do accents well. It's not my thing. It's not my thing. Sorry.
Apparently, it's not mine either, so it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Emily and Brendan, these two, man. Is this the next morning after their last argument, right? I get so lost in which argument they're having this time, because Brendan has RBF anyway, right? So, but this that morning they get up, they sit at the kitchen island, and Brendan admits that, you know, look, I wasn't in the best headspace last night to talk. I wasn't ready to talk then, but I am ready to talk now. Speak, woman.
Yeah, and she's like, well, let me just repeat what I said last night. I thought you were being a little bitch in the hot tub. And I didn't appreciate it. Like, that's really what she said.
Yeah, pretty much. But to his credit, he at least apologized, right? He apologized, said he wasn't trying to hurt her, said some other words, then some more words. And then they decided to attack Dr. Pepper's assignment. Which I must have missed this in the last episode when she gave them this assignment. Or they may not have even put it in. They just edited it out. But it was to write a letter to their younger selves. What did you think of these letters to young Emily and young Brennan?
I just didn't see how writing these letters to their younger selves is going to help with their lack of intimacy and connection. But oh well. And I think what we learned from this is Emily grew up with some, you know, strict dad, some tough parenting. Brennan grew up with some, you know, tough parents and strict parenting. I'm like, oh, so now y'all know what it's like to be black. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so your parents are hard on you. What else do we want to talk about? Because for me, I'm listening to that. I'm like, yeah, what you described for me, that was Saturday as a kid. Like, I don't see the big deal, which is probably, you know, probably things I should bring up in therapy. But still, I just didn't get anything out of their letters.
Absolutely nothing. And like Nikki B says, Emily needs SWAT to come rescue her since the experts won't. That is hilarious. And then Indigo Blue 50 says Emily must be desperate for the money. Why? Because she's still hanging around. I agree with you, CXM. Brennan looks so angry all the time. He even when he was apologizing, he looked like, damn it, I can't believe I am actually saying these words. Writing the letter, he looked like, damn it, the young Brennan. He just feels angry all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does, but I'm starting to think, and we're going to talk about this more, I'm starting to think that maybe this is not all Brennan's fault.
Interesting.
And I think that there's, again, some of the editing, but I think there's some more to the Emily side of the story than what we've seen. And we'll touch more about that when we get to the after party.
Interesting. I didn't watch the after party. I know you did, so I can't wait to hear this take. And I know people have already mentioned, first comment was like, hey, hope y'all watch the after party. I'm like, I apologize. In my Brennan mode, I apologize because I didn't get a chance to. See my angry face? That's my Brennan face. Hey, before we get to this winter cookout and picnic, got to remind everybody, because we got quite a few people in the live chat right now. Please do us a favor. I can't see the count, but if you can, hit that like button. We'd love that like count to look like the numbers that are here right now. So if you do us a favor, please hit that. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And therefore, you know, next time we are live, which will technically be about 23 and almost a half hours from now. Okay, so
yeah,
looking forward to that. Thank you. Now, on to this winter cookout and picnic. Of course, Emily's basket was filled with white wine, tequila, and it was missing two things, Terrell. Two necessary things.
No chasers, no water.
Of course she brought that back. If Emily came with grapes, I would have been like, where's the wine? Where's the tequila? Hold the chaser. Because you expect that from her.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, that's what she brought. I didn't see what the other folks brought, but, you know, at least she brought the drink. So they have that. So they start to have their one-off little conversations. You know, Brennan and Austin are working the grill, and Brennan tells Austin about the reset and expectations and how that's going. And I still don't see how he thinks like this makes sense. But again, I feel like they've only shown us the things they wanted us to see to make us all think Brendan's the bad guy. So right. I'm curious to see what's going to happen going forward. You know, Emily says to the girls that she's trying to stay positive and not give up. And part of me was wondering, like, why didn't you just give up?
Right.
Like, at this point, it's worse than what Lauren and Orion went through.
Well, you remember you said last week that you thought it was because they slept together. And again, this is her first real relationship. And she's like, my first relationship is a marriage. So I got to at least try. And you know, I am it. So I know he had to like it. He's got to want more. So yeah, I'm going to try this. Or maybe like somebody suggested earlier, it could be about the money. But the thing that really got me was when Becca, all the girls are sitting around, all the women are sitting around, and Becca says, who would have thought none of us would be getting laid a month and a half into the marriage? And I'm like, you know what? Figured somebody would at least get some. At least that was the original formula for Married at First Sight. I don't like this formula. There's nobody getting along.
Well, and Becca has a valid point, because everything about Austin and Becca is working except this.
Right.
Right? All the issues everyone else has had, Becca and Austin haven't had. That religion thing, I don't really think that's as big of a deal as they try to make it be. But she has a valid point. Everything else is awesome with us. You just won't touch me.
Right.
Why?
Mm-hmm. You know, Kimberly has a great question, because I thought this at first. Why is Claire still part of the group? They got divorced, right? They're separate. Why? I know they're still filming with her because they need content, because it's now down to just really two couples and two couples that don't look like they're going to make it. But why is Claire still part of the group? Why is she meeting up on a group get together? They figured to get some content. Is that what it is?
Well, they need something because they already down Lauren and Orion.
Yes.
They didn't have Michael and whoever he was supposed to be with originally, if that's a real story. So they need something. So they might as well let her hang out and stay in the apartment. We rented it for this long. Go ahead. Just
yeah. The apartment complex is not giving us back that
yeah.
money.
Yeah, you're not getting the refund. No, you paid for this. We signed a lease. So they might as well let her just hang out. So I get it. I don't know. None of us care. None of us care. Like, there's not going to be any type of changing, you know, moment or a climax with Claire and Cameron before decision day. So I don't see the point either, but I get it. Go ahead.
I said Chocolate Sooner was saying, hey, Kimberly, I think Claire thinks it's just a separation, quote unquote separation. And that may be, yeah, but the producers know it's not. We know it's not. So, you know.
Yeah. It's not simple. It's a separation for right now until they get divorced after the show. So yes, it is a separation. They're not divorced yet, but it's separation. So as Becca's complaining about, you know, not getting the good living that she's been wanting, Austin feels pressured and gets in his head when Becca pushes for sex. I don't know about you, but I've never been like, man, she wants it all the time. I don't know if I can do this. It's a lot of pressure and all this stuff. I've never had that unless it was someone I did not want to sleep with.
Yeah, that is very true. And it almost goes straight along with Nikki B's question here. Like, ladies, have you ever had difficulty getting sex from a new partner? Because you're right. If you're attracted to this person, you like this person, that shouldn't be a problem. As a man, you're like, she's into me. She wants me. Right? But if you don't like this person, you can find the reasons not to. You can.
Exactly. Because even if maybe you're not comfortable with going all the way to home plate, there's still first, second, and oh my God, third base. There's a lot that you could be doing, even if you don't want to do it all. Yeah. And so I'm just like, I just don't understand. And the only time in my whole life I've ever been there is I did not want to be with that person or touch that person. And so maybe that's what, I mean, none of us know. We're just speculating, but I just can't understand the situation with him.
Have you ever had to, I got to grit through this and do it.
In my 20s, that's what the alcohol was for. I'm like, well, crap. I've been pouring myself some. I didn't even measure the alcohol. I'm just... She'll be here in, what, 10 minutes? Damn it.
Just give me the bottle. Justine, thank you for the super chat. Says I'm ready for the reunion to get the real stories. That's, you know, it's I wonder if this after part, I mean, this reunion will really break out a lot of the real, because sometimes you get the real story, sometimes you get the, you know, I'm just happy to be done with this crap, move on, right? So hopefully we actually get the real at that point.
Well, I think what's his name will ask. He does a good job of asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully he'll dig and a lot of the stuff that people have been talking about and trying to understand why. And I'm hoping that if Austin and Becca don't have sex, because mm-hmm. it seems like Austin ain't even comfortable talking about having sex on camera, but just hoping they just ask, hey, why?
Right.
What's going on? Brennan, did y'all have sex on the honeymoon? You seem, let's look at these clips from the honeymoon where y'all seemed good. Right. What happened that you shut you down?
Investigative reporting, yes.
For the rest of it, you know what I mean?
I wonder if Kev will do that. Maybe they'll have that. Because, you know, the one thing about Kevin sometimes, he'll ask those questions. He'll dive in and ask those. He gets messy. He's not worried about that. By the way, to the question earlier, Connie Poodlemom says, 37 years ago, my husband rejected my advances because of his religious beliefs. There's a story there. We may need to get that story at some point, because was his husband then, or that was in the dating phases first, and then, you know, waited till marriage. That which could have, but that can't be the reason here. They're married already.
There you go. I mean, that's my thought. It's like, yeah, you're already married, so why not just go all in? Yeah. But whatever.
So look, we see them a little later. They get inside, you know, sun goes down, temperatures drop. They go inside, they shoot and pool terribly. And then Michael shows up with his crown because he wants to give it one last go around.
Yeah. So Michael shows up and he has invitations and letting everybody know that the experts have matched him up with someone else and inviting him to the wedding. And I think it's nice. I think they were really supportive and optimistic for him, because I'm sure he's hoping, like, and I think he even says this later on the after party, but he had said that the first time around, he wasn't thinking about what if she doesn't like me, or what if he wasn't even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Now in his head, that has to be there. So I think they did a good job of making him feel comfortable. And I think some of them are going to be able to make it to the wedding. So that'll mm-hmm. be nice.
Nikki asked a very important question, because I didn't see this, but she says, did y'all see Emily giving Michael the eyes?
Do you think she was giving the eyes, or she just had something she wanted to say, but she didn't know how to say it? So she does the eye thing that she does all the time.
The thing that irritates the crap out of you.
Yeah, maybe she's not. Or maybe it wasn't like, I want you eyes. It's like, I've got some stuff I want to say, but I don't know how to use my words, so.
Here's what I did like from Michael, though. Michael, you silly. Michael was what we thought. Was like, okay, should he tell her? And that's what he was kind of struggling with. And you know, should I tell her about me going through this process before, why we're here, why no one else is here? And the women tell him that, you know, they'll back him up. Like, you know, we're right there. We got your back. And yes, you should tell her about your first non-wedding wedding.
I think you should. Just get it out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, because she's going to have to understand why is my decision day coming in 2 weeks and everyone else had 8 weeks.
Where the hell was my bachelor party?
Yeah, they got such a short time. You got 2 weeks and such. You going to be together or what? So you might as well just tell her.
You had a week in Cancun. You good? Is this forever or nah? What'd you think of the fact that he invited them to the wedding, which I thought, I get the gesture, but doesn't that feel kind of weird?
No. Why would that feel weird?
I mean, she kind of knows who they are. So seeing them in the wedding, we're like, what are y'all doing here?
How would she know who they are?
Because when they do the process the first time around, it's a big group setting. So they've been there. They've been around each other. And she'll get them to see some. I know these people, but.
But a short time. But it's not like they were all BFFs from the whole day. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. And we never saw them all together with all the people. You know, she wasn't part of the bachelorette party and all that. Right. She might not even know them. But Michael and them have bonded over this. And if you're going to invite people, you might as well invite people that understand how crazy this process is compared to inviting a bunch of people who've never did it, or re-invite the ones who went through it last time to watch you get your heart broken.
Are you sure this time?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, I ain't written another tux.
Are you paying for it this time?
You still owe me gas from the last time I drove from Boulder all the way down here for this bullshit. So...
Because, you know, so the thing about it is, and they used to show this before, when the, you know, before the season officially started, they'd go through the whole process of different people, but they'd show the whole meeting thing when they get to the conference room at the hotel and everybody's in the room together as they, so they used to do that. I'm assuming they still do that, but who knows,
right? I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see that in the matchmaking special. I didn't see any of that.
Right. So next up, we get back to this couple, Emily and Brennan. Well, technically just Brennan, because he is getting some virtual marriage advice from his best friend, Richie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's telling Richie that, you know, we still don't have a romantic element in the relationship. And, you know, Richie asks, what do the experts recommend? Mm-hmm. Which I thought was good. He said that they suggested actions, or he talked about them trying to do other things together and focus on the relationship.
Right.
And he suggested that actions speak louder than words, mm-hmm, to help with that emotional connection. But here's what was really great that Richie said. Richie said that Brennan can get stuck in his head about things. There could be one little thing that bothers you, and that one little thing will trump any connection that you had. And mm-hmm, so he's worried that Brennan has closed the door on the opportunity for the romantic connection to happen.
You know, it sounds like somebody else I know. But it seems like Nikki, what? Did I call
it
a name? Did I call it a name,
sir? I feel attacked.
Did I say any names?
Why? I'm just saying, I feel attacked. I feel like you're talking about me here. No. I mean, Terrell today. No. When we were living together in college, yes. But then,
Yesterday.
So were you. If you saw bad feet or underwear didn't match, you're like, yeah, no. So.
Well, I mean, bad feet is a deal breaker. Oh. We both can't have bad feet. I hear looking like Wilma and Fred. Can't do that. No. like Nikki B says, Richie seems to have Brennan's number. I like that. And here's the thing I like about this conversation. Brennan tells us from the get-go. Richie's going to tell it to me like it is. He's not going to sugarcoat. He's not afraid to tell me anything. He's going to tell. So at least we see he respects somebody's opinion, as long as it's not a woman. Because we'll get to him and Dr. B and Emily in a second. But
yeah.
You see him getting this advice from Richie and taking it well, right? What I did notice that Richie also said was, he said the only thing that's going to work is going above and beyond what they're asking you to do. Don't just go through the motions. You got to do more. You got to not. You say you like this woman. You say she's a nice person. Act like it.
Yeah. Well, I agree with what Richie was saying, but in Brennan's mind, I can't believe he even said this out loud, mm-hmm, that they had lunch and dinner together. So does that show that I'm trying to have a romantic connection? And Richie's like, yeah, I have lunch and dinner with my friends all the time. That's not a romantic connection.
I like he called him out on that too.
Yeah, it was like, that doesn't. So we went to lunch and dinner together the other day. It's that show that I'm trying. I'm like, just because you put food in someone's mouth?
Yeah.
Unless you're feeding them, that's a romantic connection.
He's like, yeah, I go to lunch with my friends. I'm not trying to marry them. He's like, look, we'll go to lunch. Oh, but you better not say I do at that table.
Yeah. So then Brennan flips it and says, Emily is one of the most wonderful human beings he's ever met. She's sweet and she's amazing.
Wow.
And I'm like, something doesn't add up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's talking all of this, saying she's so amazing, but he can't stand her. And we know this because he doesn't even have to say it.
No, his body language says he can't stand her, so I just don't know what's up with those two.
Back to these two, because we get our introduction to Dr. Pia again in this episode, first with Becca and Austin. Austin is a little nervous about this meeting with Dr. Pia, right? And as soon as Dr. Pia steps in, sits down, and brings up intimacy, we find out exactly why, because Austin is like, I need a drink. Immediately, that nervous energy was crazy.
And it's, he doesn't like talking about these kind of things. And I get it, I guess. But so they're meeting up, and kudos to Austin that he owned it. He said that the lack of intimacy is his fault. Mm-hmm. So he's not blaming Becca or anything like that. And he just usually moves much slower. And I think he said normal is like 3 to 6 months before he gets to that level, which that's I can't relate.
He said 3 to 6 months or 3 to 6 minutes. Man, that's a long time.
3 to 6 months. I just can't relate to that in my lifetime. But I'm not saying he should move faster than that. I'm just saying I can't relate to 3 to 6 months. And those were people he didn't even marry. These are just people he met at the club. This is someone that you actually married sight unseen by choice. Mm-hmm. So that was
he hasn't even dialed it back. 3 to 6 months. He hasn't even dialed it back to, you know, he didn't have to go all the way to 3 to 6 days. He didn't even go to 3 to 6 weeks because they're already at the 6 week mark and he has not gotten there yet. So yeah, he's moving super slow still. It makes it makes no sense. Sandmai says 3 to 6 months is crazy. Yes, it is. And Michelle says 3 to 6 months is a long time. Ladies, that's what we've been saying with that stupid 90 day rule. Just want to point that out. Okay. I'm glad y'all all agree.
But I like how Michelle didn't say it's crazy. She goes, that's a long time.
It's a long time. Crazy.
To me, Sam Maya, I feel like Sam Maya is saying there's no way in HE double hockey sticks she's waiting 3 to 6 months. Michelle's like, wow, that's a long time.
Look, analyst IE says he should just keep it real and tell her he's just not that into her. Exactly. Really and truly. He almost should, right? By the way, Michelle says 3 to 6 months for women.
Different Michelle.
And JD says, in this situation, married at first sight, I think 3 to 6 months is reasonable. They said I do on day one.
That's what I've always argued. If you've never been married before, all the people that you've slept with that didn't put a ring on it, married at first sight, put a ring on it, you get married. I'm not saying day one, but I think after the week of the honeymoon, you're with someone that you're married to every day, 24 hours. Why not?
I'm sorry, but you did say day one. You said they should do day one because they've given it up on day one to other people probably.
There's that. So, but day one, day two, I just think you hurry up and do it. Because if you think about all the other little stuff that we see in Mavs that causes a little bit of drama.
Yeah.
But if they just would have just had sex and slept together, your stress levels are down. You're a little bit more relaxed. You'd be like, you know what? Yeah, they put the suitcase on the bed, but she cute though. I'm fine with it. Well, they put the shoes on the bed. I'm not a big fan of that, but man, she's sexy. So I think you can let some stuff slide.
No, that neither one of those things you just said you let slide, okay? Let's just get that real. Keep the suitcase and the shoes off the bed.
All I'm saying, maybe, if the loving is good, you might just overlook that suitcase on the bed. But, you know.
Bellini says, remember, Austin suggested they move into their own places after decision day. Yeah, he did kind of say that.
He did do that. He did do that.
Now, here's the thing, though. Austin says it's the pressure that's probably gotten to him since the spotlight has been put on it. Y'all keep bringing this up. And by y'all, I mean you, Becca. You keep bringing this up. And so with the spotlight on it, I can't perform under the spotlight. So that's what it is. Make up your mind. Is it 3 to 6 months or is it the spotlight?
Yeah. I don't get that. And Becca saying that she's not comfortable. Well, she's comfortable initiating the foreplay, but feels that that'll put pressure on Austin because now he's like, oh my gosh, she's kissed me. She's going to expect me to deliver.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready. And so maybe that's the pressure and all that stuff that's happening. But I totally get how Becca feels. She doesn't feel desired as she has in past relationships. And even though Austin says that he does desire her, he just moves slower than most.
Yeah.
I agree with her. It's like, I can't understand how can you desire someone and not show it?
Here's what I get from Becca, and I totally get her on this one, where she says she doesn't want him to be intimate with her as a favor to her. Right? I think it's one of those where it's like, she's right. She doesn't want to be walk pity sex. It's like, do it because you want to, which is something that she's not really, she's not getting at all right now.
Do you think that's what he's going to do? Just take, fine, God damn it.
Take that. Jesus.
Let me just, I'm leaving my hat on though. I'm going to leave my hat on, but I'll get undressed. Are you good now? Yeah. That mean, after he has sex with him, like, are we good?
What T.I. say? Is you happy? So Dr. Pia asks, what does foreplay look like? And Becca says, it doesn't have to be sexual. It can be a text. It can be a look. It can be a touch. And Austin said, hey, that's all new to me. Like, dude.
And you know, hold up. And let's also, again, trying to give Austin the doubt. Maybe okay. He's just not as experienced. Mm. Sexually. So let's say he's only maybe had one or two partners his whole life. So maybe that's why he moves.
You think he's scared?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Pierce says, remove expectations. Stop talking about it. Stop talking around it. Just do it. Like, don't talk about, oh, well, here's what I like. Here's what I want to do. No, just do it. Just do these things and see it. If that, you know, sparks everything. And it looks like they're going to try that. But like Daddy M says here, though, I prefer he not do it than pull a Chris and sleep with her and then say, your face makes me ill.
Chris, did Chris say that?
He did say that. You got to watch the season, man. You
really he said watch. That? God damn, watch Chris. I'm the only one. Even on his IG, I try to like, hey, brother, you doing all right?
Yo, I thought we were done, man. We begged y'all to leave Chris alone.
last episode. I didn't know he said, your face makes me ill. Good. Googa booga.
Ariadne says, Chris sure did say that.
Oh, my God. I did not know he did that. But I agree with Dr. Pia. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Just do it if you're going to do anything. So
Nike that thing.
We will see. Speaking of Nike. Emily and Brennan.
Back to soccer. These two again.
Hey, we got to say, Emily has some skills. You got to give it up to her. She played high school soccer, was on premier teams, and she whooped Brennan's butt in some soccer.
Yeah, she hit him with that crossover. Look, challenges him to the one-on-one. Let me show you how this thing's supposed to work. Crossed him over and actually impressed him with her skills. What was interesting is when they sat down and Emily tells Brennan how, you know, she was one of the worst and somehow made her way to being one of the best, right? And by that somehow, she means, you know, her dad kind of pushed her. Did you notice that Brennan then repeated her story to her and even included soccer in that? We just watched you get your ass whooped. We don't believe you.
Well, he had said that if he had a coach or somebody that pushed him, maybe he would have been good to make the team or whatever. But what I took away from that conversation is that Emily's dad, Joe Jackson, her to success in soccer. Yeah. Might not have been physically, but verbally, he Joe Jackson her to be good at soccer.
All made her almost hate the sport. But his, you know, like I said, Brennan said he wished he had somebody to push him. But then he asked her, hey, so you think maybe your dad pushing you helped boost your confidence later in life?
Probably did. You know what I mean? It's unintended result, you know, but it probably did. And a lot of the leadership stuff that she has, maybe why that she's really good in sales, because a lot of the people I've come across in sales, normally athletes, leaders at some point, they just have that ability, you know, to take over a room. Maybe all those things helped her be successful in her career. Unfortunately, it caused a bad relationship with her and her dad. Yeah. But he still pushed her to greatness. But you could say the same thing about Michael Jackson and Joe Jackson. Yeah. Had the best relationship.
Do you really think this is how he's understanding? This is why you won't give up. Your dad pushed you not to give up, and here you are. You refuse to walk away from this marriage. I need you to walk away from this marriage.
He's like, man, I got to kick it up a notch to make you really want to quit.
Let me try something different. And then he starts heaping praise on Emily. Because I don't think I've ever seen him actually talk nicely to her like he did at the end of this part of the episode. I was like, okay, look, this is looking good. Maybe they need to go play soccer some more. And then we end up back at the apartments with Becca and Austin, and they get this gift basket filled with sex items and instructions for an obstacle course.
So the idea is great. Mm. It's just 50% of this couple is not built for this. Say that. The concept was great.
Yeah.
So the idea is you put a blindfold on and you create this obstacle course, and it creates a thing of trust and intimacy, and your partner has to follow you. The person leading, when the partner accomplishes an obstacle, they're supposed to reveal something intimate about themselves. So without going through all the different obstacles, let's just talk about the three things that Austin revealed. He revealed that his feet are ticklish.
Oh, ooh, yeah, that's sexy.
Intimate. Oh, yeah, that's a panty dropper right there. It's like, oh, your feet are ticklish? He likes it when she talks dirty. And I was like, okay, there you go. Now we're getting into some stuff. And then for the third one, he's like, he's trying to think. And Becca's like, talk about my boobs. He goes, oh, yeah, you have gray boobs. That's all he revealed. So thank you, Austin. For that, we learned so much about you, and I'm sure
he did.
And, Becca really can't wait to take your clothes off.
Yeah, is it the cameras that makes him that nervous, or is it just her? Really?
And it could be the camera, because I don't know what that's like. I mean, could you imagine all those cameras around you and all that? I get it, but dude, you signed up for this. That's the thing that I don't get. You signed up to do this.
Yeah. You know, the next thing we get to see Dr. Pia back. She's back with Emily and Brennan.
Cool.
And
Nikki B, you go, girl. Nikki B says, give me some ice, cup of warm water, and a face towel. That's all the prep I need. She'll need the obstacle course. Just give me this. We're good.
That's what. You in normal relationships is probably what it is, but for these two, yeah. Well, any of these two couples that are left, because these two couples, it's horrible. We get back to Emily and Brennan, and Dr. Pierre's there, and apparently Emily and Brennan are at odds at what to discuss, because Emily brings up the touching exercise, and Brennan can't understand why you want to go backwards. We had such a good day playing soccer. What are you doing?
Yeah. Something's not right with these two. And I feel like, is Emily saying one thing to Brennan, but something different to the experts, something different on the after party than what she's doing? Because Brennan felt like he got blindsided with everything that was going on. And it made me start to question Emily a bit.
Yeah.
This time. I mean, because all the other times we felt like it was Brennan was the at fault. And he probably is still at fault in some stuff. I'm not giving him a pass. But this made me start to look at Emily in a different way.
So, because he kept saying what we agreed on. But the way he says these things sometimes, I'm wondering, is it something you said? And she just went, mm-hmm. And then she gets there. She's asked the question. Because to Emily's point, hey, Dr. Pia asked the question. I'm just answering the question. Knowing that she's going to ask the question, she's just like, okay. Mm-hmm, sure. Woo-hoo, yeah. When he makes these suggestions, let's not talk about the past. No.
Yeah.
How do you get, if you don't know your past, you can't move forward. If you don't address what's happened in the past, it's going to happen. And that's all there is to it. I get it. And again, I didn't watch the after party to see her attitude that everybody's mentioning. But at the same time, Brennan is still the problem. He's agitated hearing that changing the exercise was his idea. When Dr. Pia asked Brennan why he didn't want to do the exercise, Brennan becomes a 5-year-old. He starts throwing a little temper tantrum again. Like, it's the same thing. We keep seeing this over and over again.
We do. And I think it's obvious. Brennan doesn't want to make himself look bad on TV. Mm-hmm. And so he's really trying to be cautious of what he says when the cameras are on compared to what he says and does when the cameras are off. Now, Emily says that she's kind of been holding back because she doesn't know how Brennan is going to react, to where Brennan is like, what are you talking about? You know, now I still believe a little bit of that I think he probably has a bit of a temper. And if his parents already said it,
yeah,
he does. But it was just an interesting exchange between those where I feel like finally Emily is using her words and not her eyes. But then Dr. Pia asks, you know, Brennan if he trusts Emily. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because I don't think he does.
Right. No, of course he doesn't. But you know, it's like there are a lot of things that I keep seeing, especially pop up in the chat when it comes to these two. I mean, because he said he doesn't trust her. He doesn't trust her because he wants her to do exactly what he wants her to do. Like, here's what I don't want us to talk about, and you're going to agree. And like Tracy says, Emily's afraid to speak up for herself unless someone else is there. So she's not addressing a lot of these things. Remember, like you brought up, his family told her he has a temper. And she's seen it in his face. So is that a reason for it?
I don't know. I don't know. I've not been in that situation. Mm-hmm. And just outside looking in, my first thought is, okay, you're still technically safe because there's camera crews around you all mm-hmm. the time. So you're barely just a light scream away from help if anything were to happen. But again, I don't know what those conversations are like. I don't know how he makes her feel. If that's the case, if he makes her feel unsafe and where she can't use her voice and he has a temper, we've not seen it. All we're just going off a he said, she said situation right now.
You know, L. Ramey says to even have a conversation before counseling about an agreement is weird. Yeah, it does, because that may, but then again, here's why it's not surprising. It may be weird, but it's not surprising. And it's actually right on point and on character for Brennan, because he doesn't want to do therapy. He doesn't like therapy. He's against it. So normal people wouldn't do that. Well, let's not talk about this in there. No, go in there. Let's unpack it, because we have a mediator. But he's like, mm-mm. You don't speak about this. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's what he was upset about, because he felt like they had a plan, or mm-hmm. Emily, you know, makes plans or commitments and stuff and then changes it mm-hmm. and doesn't really communicate. So there's something off with these two. And then they both go into, I care about you. And well, Emily was first saying, I care about you. And then Brennan comes in with the move that I think I'd mentioned before on a couple other recaps ago. I really care about you too. And I'm so sorry that you're not getting the relationship that you deserve. And both of us, and as if he wants her to break up with him.
Right.
End it. That way he's not the bad guy. But mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you don't care about each other. At least Emily probably does. Brennan doesn't care about her. But again, this whole episode just gave me a little bit of a red flag about Emily, not just with the stuff we mentioned about her drinking and all that, but there's something there in her temper and attitude. I'm wondering, do they just both do this? It's not just Brennan being mean, but it's both of them.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's only so much you're going to take from any one person anyway. At some point, you've got to. And yeah, he sees the looks she gives in front of others. He may pretend like he doesn't see it, but he sees it. He does know. He's aware. He's very aware. Dr. Pia asks Brennan if he allows his friends to challenge him. And when he says yes, she asks if it feels comfortable with Emily challenging him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she almost could have said, do you like it when I challenge you or when I don't let you push me over? Because he's fine with his friends doing it because his friends are guys. I think this was something we brought up before. And he doesn't like when Dr. Pierce not backing down ever.
No, she's not. And I do. I think I've mentioned that before, that I don't think he likes women
right.
to talk to him that. Any kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so, but there is that aspect to it. And as you say often, both things can be true.
Look, I know we're going to get to a little bit on the after party with them in just a few, but let's wrap up this episode with Becca and Austin, because Austin sets up a nice welcome home for Becca. And it felt to me like, hey, Becca's about to get her wish. She's about to, a month and a half in, it's about time. Get ready.
Yeah, he sets up the rose petals, which that was nice. He threw me when he tried to say he's trying to get the candles set up to look like breasts. And I'm like, That just sounds like something like a 12-year-old would say. Those candles look like boobies. So he just lost me on that, but he had the chocolate covered strawberries. Everything that you think tonight is going to be their night. And then he looks at the camera, goes a little kiss, closes the door. Mm-hmm. And then we see the previews for the next episode. But once we get to the after party, Emily tells a different story.
Well, what? How does Emily know? Was she there too?
So
was she the one in the room?
So everybody in the chat, let's talk about the after party because Yanni hasn't seen it yet.
Yes.
Yeah, so Emily comes out. I think it was Emily, Austin, and Michael. And so Keisha's asking Austin about, you know, the whole deal. And Emily is just jumping in. Well, why aren't you doing this? And why'd you do that? And that's not what Becca told me when they were asking kind of, did y'all have sex? And he was saying, we progressed a lot more, da da da. And she said, that's not what Becca told me.
Uh-oh.
And so he's like trying to like, hey, why are you coming at me? But he doesn't obviously like to talk about some of the stuff on camera because it makes him uncomfortable. But Emily was going at him for whatever reason.
She's frustrated. She's got built up frustration.
So I'm frustrated. So I'm just going to piss off everybody else around me. Well, yeah. Hurt people. So you're right.
that's exactly what it is. Hey, Toya says Emily found her voice with the wrong people.
Yeah. So
and Sop Monkey says I don't think Becca and Austin did it. He chickened out.
I don't think they did either. I just think maybe it was a little bit longer of a makeout sesh than what they've had, but I don't think they actually consummated the marriage.
Nikki B has an idea here. Maybe Becca put Emily up to it.
Could be. You know, because we know by this point, as they're doing the after party shows, everything's done. Right. And they're not together. None of them had rings on, wedding rings on, sitting there at the party, including Michael, heads up. But the interesting thing about the after party to me was Emily and Keisha's exchange. So Keisha's playing clips of Emily's interactions with Brennan and then the conversation with Dr. P, and she's trying to get an understanding of Emily's side of it and what happens behind the scenes that we don't see. And Emily was just coming out rude, just kept bringing up all this other stuff. She said that Brennan, before they were played soccer, that he was yelling at her and aggressive with her. He said that he gets mad and like throws stuff at the walls. And so Keisha's just trying to ask clarifying questions. And then Emily pulls a Brennan and she's like, well, this is just not being productive. You know, we might as well just talk about something else. Cause da, da, da. And you should have saw Keisha's face because she had that look like, bitch.
Don't let Rudy Huxtable fool you.
Yeah, don't let Rudy come out.
Keisha can tell you a few things.
Yeah, the look on her face, she was just like, like, why are you cutting? And then so she's trying again. And then Emily was still rude. And Keisha had to tell her, look, Emily, I'm not the enemy here. I'm just trying to understand. And the viewers are trying to understand what happens behind the scenes. What are the things that we're not seeing that leads to some of this stuff? Mm-hmm. And Emily was just, she was like Brennan, the way Brennan is with Dr. Pia. That's how Emily was with Keisha. Wow.
And, you know, J-Roll says Keisha didn't do anything, didn't do nothing wrong. Emily was going in circles and Keisha was trying to help her. Look, and here's the problem, because she didn't learn from watching Dr. Pia handle Brennan, right? Because Dr. Pia sits there just nice and, but she handles Brennan.
Yeah.
But she's probably seen The Cosby Show. You know, she's probably says, oh, you know, Rudy Huxtable, cool. You know, Keisha's always looking so nice while she's there. And she's probably thinking, I can push over her if I need to. Nope. I mean, she's nice when you see her in person. But, hey, you cross the wrong person at the wrong time. And raise your voice the way y'all are describing it, she did, and come at her this sideways, this could happen.
Oh, Marjan hit the nail on the head, because Keisha was just like, and just had to pause and had to get herself together.
She had to get herself together. She
yeah, she just had to look around like, I can't do, I need this money, need this check. So she had to like get herself together before she talked to her, but you'd have thought she was ready to just snatch her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Shante says Keisha was standing on business. And Jared says, Keisha said, don't let that Delta come out. Look, Connie Poodlemom was like, didn't think Keisha had it in her. Hey, don't be fooled now. Because remember, she grew up in the business, so she understands how to smile for the cameras. But you come sideways, you might get the real.
Yeah, yeah. She Emily poked the bear. But I think all this exposed that there's a side to Emily mm-hmm. that we have not seen, but we've been thinking that she's the victim in all this. And so I'm just wondering now, is it, again, I think they yeah. both are clashing with each other and maybe they're both violent. So you have Emily coming on after party saying that Brendan is throwing stuff at the walls and all that, which I kind of have a hard time believing because I would think that the producers would have kind of stepped in and be like, hey, let's get it together. But then you have Brendan trying to say that Emily was going in there, pulling the shower curtain down, trying to jump in the shower with him, trying to smother him while he's sleeping with the pillow. So I don't know.
Bellini has a great point here. Says, when Keisha was describing the evening beverage, was there alcohol in it? I didn't even watch it. The answer is yes. There's always yes. alcohol in it. And if there wasn't, I guarantee you Emily had some in her purse. Like
Emily already had a couple shots before she got there. But yeah, there was. I'm trying to remember what it was because I think it was either whiskey and like apple juice. And so it was something like really weird mm-hmm. that I thought, that's an interesting drink. But it was either whiskey or rum base. I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
Oh man, good. Thank you, Karen, for the super chat. Thank you for the donation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Look, so tomorrow we're back with the Ready to Love recap tomorrow evening, 7-6 Central. Before we get out of here, let's go back through some of these comments here from earlier in the show. Let's see. We were talking about Chloe. Heaven's Queen said Chloe has to know that she's a sub. She didn't even get a bachelorette party. Absolutely right. Like she's things are just way off that she has to know this is different, right?
Possibly. But again, we don't know. Maybe they did have a bachelor party. They just didn't show it because yeah. like we only got so much time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
And we thank them for not showing it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows?
Nikki B, we're going to ban you from commenting after this one. Said, if all men got pegged, they'd have a better life. No.
I don't know. My life's been pretty good.
You might want to clear that.
My life's been pretty good.
You might want to clear that comment.
My life's been, I'm sorry. My life's been pretty good without getting pegged. I've never been a pegger. I've never been interested in getting pegged. It's not been something I wanted. You know, but I'm just like, my life's been good without it. I think I'm doing all right.
Some people were going to hear that completely different. I'm like, hold up.
Yeah.
You might want to clear that up, bro.
Yeah. Nope. Oh, my God. Not here.
Look, speaking of Claire and Cameron and how much Claire's been acting like she cares for Cameron, Trini says, look, when the relationship was new, quote unquote new, and they were in a strange country, she let him go to the hospital by himself. You divorced him. Now you care?
I mean, we all don't think she cares. I mean, we think that's just all for show. So
yeah. Yeah. And final thing, as we brought up earlier, is why we asked about it last week and we said, hey, leave the brother alone. And then it comes back in here today. At least Austin isn't pulling a Chris. And as we again said, look, the brother's trying. Freedom says Chris will be talked about for years. It's already been years. How many more years before y'all forgive Chris?
No, there was someone that commented on one of the videos on YouTube that says, no, we're not forgiving Chris. And they said they still haven't forgiven. I forget which Tyler Perry movie this was. The one, Something of a Mad Black Woman. What's that one?
Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
They said they still haven't forgiven that character for leaving her for that white girl. I was like, damn, is that serious?
Hey, you hold a grudge, you hold a grudge.
You hold it forever.
And hold it.
Yeah.
And hold it.
Hold it.
All right, let's get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Look, we love you guys. Hey, do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. And if you're not already subscribed, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And make sure you also hit the bell for notifications so you can know whenever we do go live. And yes, Ariadne says we're not forgiving Chris or Charles McCarter.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRTPod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit from the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.